Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Welcome to the BJ Shay's Geek Nation! I'm Vicky Barcelona, and across from me is Joey Deez.
Hello, Vicky!
Hello, Joey.
Where is BJ?
I don't know.
He's on assignment.
I may or may not have given him some, like a piece of candy, and he went a little nuts.
Oh, no. He's following the breadcrumbs of candy to a different destination.
Yeah, the sugar high is real with that guy.
Well, then he's going to miss all of our fun times today, Vicky, because we are going to talk Severance. Yes. Ooh. Spiritual mind from work and body and things.
Okay.
It gets trippy. We're also going to talk Young Jedi Adventures.
For little kiddos.
For the little kiddos. And I'll give a spoiler-free review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. But until then, Vicky, how can the Geek Nationals get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com.
.com.
Or it's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more.
More.
Or just search BJ Shay's Geek Nation, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Odyssey app, all that fun stuff.
The Odyssey app. Yes, where you can find all our old podcasts if you'd like to listen to those, where we have done many, many geeky things, including all the lovely Marvel movies, because there are a ton of them.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't I quickly give a Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Volume 3 review, with, of course, Chris Pratt as Star-Lord. So, as you guys probably remember, there was a Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you watched that, Vicky.
Yes, I loved it.
And that is where we learned that Mantis and Star-Lord are brother and sister.
Which I think I had seen someone post way before the special had come out. It's like, hey, that makes sense. Or I even thought about it, too. I think when I saw the movie, I'm like, well, he's been to all these planets and had all these babies that didn't work out. It would make sense that Mantis is his child.
Yes, and that does come up a little bit in the movie, and I have not seen the Christmas special, so I was like, whoa, they're really leaning in on all of this.
I know. Okay, what month are we in? May? It's almost summer. You need to go watch this Christmas special. It is a quick one. It is fun, lighthearted. It's silly. Please watch it.
That sounds exactly like the movie, which is awesome. And
I've heard before the movie even came out that it's going to make you cry. Is it going to make me cry?
It probably will make you cry. Yes. But it is definitely worth a watch. It's a little long for me. I think it was about 2.5 hours. Probably could have squeezed it to be about 2. But fun adventure. We get to see the whole cast again. Some great cameos show up. I'm not going to spoil any of them, but they are awesome. But if you don't know what the main plot is, essentially, it's the Guardians of the Galaxy versus the High Evolutionary, who is a big bad guy who is trying to perfect, I guess, life itself.
I believe he is played by the same actor who was like the one in charge in Peacemaker.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm going to try to pronounce his name.
Can you?
And I've already failed.
Yep, nope.
I tried to do it in my head. It's Chuck Woody and Jui?
Something?
Close. I'm going to butcher your name. I really apologize. But he was a fantastic. He is, in my opinion, the best part of the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I did enjoy his performance. He was Murn in Peacemaker. He was an alien, spoiler alert, in Peacemaker as well. But he played it so, so good. I was really impressed by him. So I'm really excited to see him in this one.
He is very angry in this movie, which fits perfectly because everyone else is usually really happy. Of course, the other person who steals the movie for me is Drax. Because Drax is hilarious, and all of his deadpan humor just fits so well in the movie. Just like the other Guardians of the Galaxy movies, very colorful. You're going to get some amazing visuals. You know, the good guy team-ups, the bad guy team-ups. And then we do get a little resolution of the Gamora storyline, which I was wondering about because this is old, new Gamora, if that makes sense. Essentially, it's a 12 version of Gamora who is from a different timeline.
Right. If you saw, was it the Infinity or Endgame, excuse me, from the Infinity War movies and stuff like that.
So she's still the badass warrior that hasn't really met Star-Lord or anything like that. So that was fun to watch. And then everyone else really does get a good story. But this is mainly the Rocket Raccoon storyline and backstory. Aww. So you're going to get a lot of that because that does tie in with the High Evolutionary. I'd give this about a 7, maybe a 7.5. If the main storyline connects with you personally to either your childhood or anything kind of like that, in the sense of, I mean, it's kind of hard because it's an animal, but you know, those heartstrings that get pulled on, I think you probably bump it up a little bit. I enjoyed it more than Thor and Love and Thunder. Oh, Thor and Love and Thunder. And I think it's probably about the same as Doctor Strange for me. But other than that, I did enjoy it. I do think it's worth a watch, and your kiddos will enjoy it as well. Because the action scenes are wild and ridiculous. And
what do you think about the soundtrack?
Soundtrack was great. Soundtrack was fantastic. It follows up a little bit with the first one because they play a couple of quick snippets of the old music that was in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they followed up with some great classics that you recognize, but I don't want to spoil them because I do feel like, you know.
I'm just looking at it. I won't spoil it for you either. There are some classics, but there's some where I'm like, this isn't that old, is it? Now I'm feeling very old because this might be a classic.
Yeah, I was going to say, a 2000 song makes an appearance that might be considered old now, which is weird. I know, right? The kid in me is like, what? That wasn't that long ago. It's like, that was 23 years ago. Oh, my God. Like,
what? No.
But definitely go check it out. And I won't spoil anything else. There are two scenes afterwards, so make sure, of course, to stay in and around.
Is it the very, very end, or is it in, like, the middle?
It's the first end, which is the, like, they play the quick credits, and then they show you, it's like 2 minutes. 10 minutes, wait through the very end, and then you get one more credit
scene.
Okay, fair enough. Check it out. It's still in theaters right now, but you probably don't have too much time. You'll be able to stream it real soon as well. It's wild. It's like a month after they leave theaters that you can then stream it on Disney Plus. Which is great because if you have Disney Plus, if you don't, you'll have a reason to buy Disney Plus.
I was going
to
say, I think Mia is now on streaming, I believe.
I just saw that. So weird. But
which, I mean, works out for me because, I don't know, I just haven't really been in the going to the actual theater mood. And I don't know if it's coming out of COVID or if it's because my movie buddy who I'd see all these movies with is now like married and has a kid and responsibilities now and can't just go.
Responsibilities?
I know. He's got a cute kid. Shout out to that kiddo. But I'm like, I don't want to go by myself. I know I could. It's just not as fun.
Yeah. And the theater when I went was not very packed. But if you go on opening day, because we do have a group of friends, some of the Board Game Alliance people love to go and with all their kids and all their friends, and it is packed. And that experience is a ton of fun because, as you said, you get that energy from the audience.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe in the next future, we'll go join them and we'll go watch something like, ooh, what's the next one? The Marvels? Is that what it is?
I think so. And I don't think that's until later this year.
Ooh, well, we have some time to wait, but that's okay because we got a lot of good movies coming up, I'm sure. But before we get to those movies, Vicky, you have been watching a cute, fun adventure show with your little one.
Yeah. My little one being my little brother. He is currently 4.5 years old. And I'm learning that he's enjoying more and more space stuff. But he still sometimes wants to go back to, like, the quote-unquote toddler baby stuff. And we did enjoy watching, like, the I Am Groot miniseries. We also went watching Super Kitties. As well as, I put this on. He enjoyed it. Okay, I should probably preface this. I tried putting on something that I thought he would like because it's colorful. It's, you know, loud. He doesn't mind, like, stuff that's old-looking. However, it has to be fast.
Fast?
So
it's like a car.
Kind of like, so I put on the old school X-Men show for him because it's all on Disney Plus, like that, the one from the 90s.
The one with like doo 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 doo.
Yep, exactly. Okay. And he was like, okay, this is cool for the first, you know, 30 seconds of the intro. And he's like, wait, the intro's still going? And then by the time they get to the beginning, it's dialogue and it's like setting things up. And he's like, I'm over this.
And he just leaves?
He was just like, I'm out, and he leaves. I was like, all right, changing it to Young Jedi Adventures, which is what we've been watching. And it's actually really adorable. I'm not really sure how this all fits in canon-wise or if it's just a different version, which, I mean, with these kids' shows, you kind of assume it's on its own thing.
I was going to say, I don't think they're probably going to put anything story-breaking into the young kids' show.
No, it is more about teaching lessons through these Jedi students.
Okay, that makes sense.
And you got, like, this adorable little group. It's got this little guy, like, I think his name was Wub.
Nubs.
And he talks like you would think. He looks like a giant blue teddy. Well, not giant, but a big, cuddly blue teddy bear that can lift like millions of pounds, basically.
So are they like Jedis in training, like at like the council? Because I assume this is probably before the Jedi get
Yes. This destroyed. Is they're getting trained by Yoda and some other characters. They also are friends with a little racer gal. She's got her own ship. She's a mechanic. It says 200 years before the Phantom Menace, during the High Republic era, the animated series follows Jedi younglings as they study the way of the Force, explore the galaxy, help citizens and creatures in need, and learn valuable skills needed to become Jedi along the way. So it's just, imagine any other kid cartoon that kind of teaches you, you know what, no, we do have the Force and we can use the Force, but we're trying to win a race, so that's cheating. We can't do that. So they're trying to teach these valuable lessons to the kids as well. And I'm like, okay, cute. The animation's cute, and it's fun. Like, especially if you know the Star Wars world, it's like a nice show to watch as an adult with a kid. Because there's some shows you're like, shut up. Like, I've never seen it because I've heard it's so bad. Kaloo.
No, I don't even know what that is.
I think this was like the most annoying show for most parents, like maybe 10 years ago. It's like this bald little kid and everyone hated this show. So at least this show is watchable. There's a lot of references and a lot of cool things. I definitely recommend it. I mean, if you're just bored hanging out, like you don't even need a kid to watch it, but it's cute.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's very colorful. And of course, like you said, it has Yoda in it. So you do get those character references.
Oh, yeah.
But it does look like more of an adventure. It doesn't look like there's any bad guys. There's no like Sith or anything trying to do anything.
No, there's like one episode I remember when they were doing the race. They were racing up against this other gal. And she was just kind of a jerk about it. And so she's like, well, I thought you guys were going to cheat. So I cheated. I'm sorry. That kind of a thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So teaching lessons like, you know what? No, you can be friends with people. You don't have to be mean. Like, just let's all get along. It's fine. You could still be competitive. You can still have fun racing.
I don't know. I'd probably use the Force. I'd probably cheat.
Yeah. But that's something we don't learn about until later. We got to tell kids to be good.
That's right. But they are wielding lightsabers, which is interesting because those are like deadly weapons.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I guess there's only one way to train in the Force.
I mean, Force itself can be a deadly weapon.
That is true, especially if you cheat incorrectly.
Jesus.
Don't cheat in the pod racing episodes. It doesn't end well for anyone but Anakin, and then Anakin turned into Darth Vader. So I guess no one?
It would be funny if one of these, like, it turns out to be, like, they're actually, like, a Sith in the end.
Yeah, right? You're like, I knew it. He's from the Jedi Tales. Geo, don't like him. Well, that's fun. It sounds like it's very enjoyable. I'm glad that you guys are liking it.
And whenever you become Uncle Joey, you can watch it with your nieces and nephews.
Oh, gosh. Please, Sarah, hold out. Hold out. I don't need to do it.
Come on.
I don't want to train a youngling.
Oh, you'd be good, Uncle Joey.
Uncle Joey would give child too much ice cream. Maybe too happy. I spoiled Danny's kid with too much ice cream as it is.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Yep, because I am a giant child and I love ice cream as well. Well, moving on from Jedi Tales, I have been watching an interesting TV show that BJ turned me onto on Apple TV Plus called Severance, starring a character you might know from Parks and Recreations. Do you remember Adam Scott,
yes,
Vicky? Yes.
I do remember Adam
he
Scott.
He plays the main character Mark in Severance, and I got to tell you, they are, you know, it's weird that they're like the same character. But he plays essentially two characters in the show because the show is about splitting your work life and your home life.
Oh.
So essentially that means you do not carry any of your memories of your work life back with you when you leave the building.
Hmm.
So what that means essentially is you are splitting your personality into two.
Interesting.
Yes. And the concept is that you are trapping a part of yourself at work. And your work does no idea what you do on the outside. So the question is, what kind of person is your work person? And your work person's thinking, what kind of person is my regular life person?
Huh. Like, I never really thought of it that way. I mean, I have thought of my example being my cousin-in-law is what I call him. My cousin's husband. He is, like, a big old military, like, he's the one that trains recruits and stuff like that. So he has to be a hard ass. But then I'm used to just seeing, like, no, you're not, you're Matt, you're my cousin-in-law, you're the one that plays with his three little girls and does princess stuff. And
you like tacos.
And I'm like, you're just like a homie. You're just like the most chill person ever. But I can't imagine him being like in charge of big things in the army.
Exactly. And so that's what I think of when I think of Adam's character, Mark, in this show. When he's at work, he's very much like his community character. Kind of like
Parks and Rec.
Or Parks and Rec character. He's very much low key, like he's like trying to be good and he's like a nice guy. But then Mark outside, whew, he's having some problems.
Okay.
I won't spoil too much, but I think they say this early on. Let me just think. Well, I won't spoil it just in case. But he's had a lot of life problems and he's a depressed person and his sister is having a baby. And so that's kind of where he is at outside work. But inside of work, he works for a mysterious company that is essentially started this severance program. That's what they call it when you decide to get a little chip inserted in you that allows you to separate your work life from your regular life. Well, it starts off that way, and you think, okay, this is interesting. It'll just be kind of one of those, like, what kind of person would do this, right? Like, because it's kind of tough if you think about it, like, not ever remember anything from work. Like, because it's like, well, you don't get that feeling of accomplishment when you do something awesome.
But you're also not taking it home with you, literally.
That is, you're not taking it home. But you are trapping a part of yourself at work. Because the part at work, you know, I mean, what are they doing? They don't know who you are. And they're forced to stay there because essentially their day starts and ends in an elevator. Because they go down a little elevator and then work starts. And that's where their life begins again.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go back on the elevator, you're back from where you were.
That's an interesting concept. I like that it's different.
Yes.
I haven't heard that before.
And it gets kind of trippy. Is it? It gets a little religious, not necessarily like any specific religion, just in a religious aspect of the person who's created this program is like very, if you will,
okay,
by the employees, because the employees aren't necessarily severed. So it's very interesting. You go down this mystery as you try to figure out what this company's actually doing. Okay, so you've severed yourself, right? Well, what are you doing? What is your work person doing while at work? Because you don't know.
Mm-mm.
So you get to experience this kind of two different worlds. It's a very slow burn, I would say, at the beginning. I think about episode 4, it really picks up where you start to like learn a little bit more about what's going on, and that mystery kind of builds. I can't really say anything about it because if I do, it will spoil everything. But Lower plays Helly. Helly's the character that you kind of get introduced to on the first episode. She is this new recruit that's coming in because Mark's character has already been there for a little while. And this mystery unfolds as you try to figure out if the company they work for are good or bad. Because it's very could go either way kind of thing. You don't know who's a good guy or a bad guy the whole time until maybe the last episode where you kind of get this little hint of like, ooh, man. All right, there's a big twist. But they do this thing the cable networks used to do. And I don't hate it, but I also don't love it. It's where they like do this huge reveal at the end for all the characters. And then they cliffhanger you. And they just cut. And you're like, what? Well, I don't want to wait for a second season. I want resolution. I want it now. So this, I'm kind of like, oh, man, I really wanted this whole season to at least come to some conclusion. And instead, it's just four different cliffhangers, essentially, because there are four main characters in this office. So I'm excited to see where it goes. I definitely recommend checking it out if you like those kind of mystery psycho thrillers. But definitely be prepared to wait another year, probably, till we get another season, because you're not going to get the answers you want, but you are going to be left with a bunch that will leave you wondering, ooh, where are they going to go with this? Because there's a bunch of different directions. It could be very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very realistic in the sense that it's like, oh, real world problems, but it could be I'm not going to be able to pronounce it right. Existential? There we go.
Existential?
Existential, thank you. In the sense that they are dealing with like, oh, real, you know, what comes next in life, or, you know, like what, you know, how, could AI do this to this and that kind of a thing? And it's, I just don't want to spoil anything, but but I definitely recommend checking it out. It is on Apple TV Plus. That is Severance. And let me know if you see any cameos, because there are some cameos too that I caught.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to spoil them, because when they show up, you're like, what? This person's in the show? I didn't even know he was still acting. But until then, we will wait for those cliffhangers to be resolved soon. But we have to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, we've been off for a while. Besides Guardians, what movies have been out?
There is a lot. And I ended up, I will talk about one that apparently is a sequel. I went down the rabbit hole kind of looking into this. So I'll go into that at the very end. The big one that is out or coming out is The Little Mermaid.
Oh, that's right. I saw previews for this.
I'm hearing good things. I'm hearing, I would like to preface this. A lot of people are just naysayers for whatever reason. That's something that they can deal with on their own. But this is for little girls. Okay, calm down. I love the fact that on the red carpet you see Halle Berry alongside the original voice of Ariel and stuff. So it's really fun. It looks like it's going to be beautiful. I'm excited to see how they do like the singing scenes and stuff like that. I'm still a little disappointed they didn't do I forget his name. Was it Titus or something from the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? I think he should have been Ursula, but I do love me some Jenny McCarthy. So I'm okay with that. As of right now, it looks like it's getting 71% on the old tomato meter with an 84% audience score, although there are very few ratings as of right now, reviews, so that is bound to change.
Yeah, based on the preview that I saw, they dumped a lot of money into the CGI and stuff because it looks great.
This one I don't necessarily consider nerdy, but I definitely want to see it. I may go see it with my brother because he loves this comedian, and we know him because he comes, I shouldn't say fairly often, especially with COVID and everything, but he is a friend of our radio morning show, and that is the movie The Machine, Bert Kreischer's.
Oh, yes.
Which follows a story he tells. Like, it's a real story, but obviously the movie just ramps it up and purposely cocaine bears it, basically.
Yep.
Like, where he ended up on a train and becomes part of, like, a Russian mafia or something like that. It is all kinds of ridiculous. I especially love it because Mark Hamill plays his father.
Oh, I know. And I think it, the whole idea is that Mark doesn't believe him, but then they get captured again.
Yes. Oh, my God. But it doesn't have any scores as of yet, but I really want to see it. My brother loves, like, he went to see a show and has a picture of Bert Kreischer, him and his best friend, all shirtless, which is hilarious because my brother and his friend are little twigs compared
gosh.
To Bert.
Yeah, Bert's an animal or a beast, as they say.
He is
or
the
machine.
Beast. The machine. Another one that is out. This one, it's a comedy drama, but I don't know. It looks like, it says Mystery Thriller 2. Looks kind of like, okay, what is this? It is called Sanctuary. Only reason I'm talking about it, it's because it's certified fresh at 94%. However, the audience score gave it 62%. It's like one of those, like, maybe fancy pants movies. But basically, it's set over the course of one night in a single hotel room. Sanctuary tells the story of a dominatrix, her wealthy client, about to inherit his late father's position and fortune. Hal tries to end the relationship, but when his attempt to cut ties backfires, disaster ensues. So there's that thriller, mystery type situation going on there. So, I mean...
Did you say married his dominatrix?
No.
Because I was like, what?
No. His dominatrix is... They're in a hotel room. It's basically, this whole movie is over the course of a night.
Oh, okay.
A hotel room and he's trying to, you know, break up with them or her, and it does not end well for him.
Oh, well.
It's a lot more difficult, I suppose.
A lot of whips involved.
Yeah.
Not in the right way, unfortunately, sounds like.
Another one that is out. It is one of those, the tomato meter, it's the opposite. It's 55% on the tomato meter, but the audience is really loving it. They're saying that this might be one of the better ones, that the villain is absolutely captivating and one of the like best villains they've had so far in the franchise, with an 85% audience score. Fast X.
Oh my gosh.
Jason Momoa is the villain of this movie.
That's right.
I hear there's going to be like, I want to say like a couple more, like it's going to be like a 3-part ending or something. So there's two more, something like that. But we do see the return of like John Cena, Jason Statham, you know, obviously you got Tyrese Gibson, Ludacris, Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, Natalie Emmanuel, who was in Game of Thrones, and she was also in Misfits for an episode.
I was going to say, like, these movies can do no wrong, essentially, because it's the 10th one. If you don't know what you're getting by now, why are you watching them?
But I'm loving it because you got Scott Eastwood, Helen Mirren, Charlize Theron, Brie Larson, Rita Moreno, Michael Rooker. Oh.
Yeah, I heard Jason Momoa steals the show in this one.
That's definitely what I heard, too. So if you are a fan of these types of movies, definitely go check this out. One that I think it's coming out, is it this next weekend? Next weekend, because I'm not sure if we're going to get to it. I do want to point out to hold out, because we got Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse coming soon.
Oh, that's the second installment in that animated version of Spider-Man.
So fun.
Miles Morales, right?
Yes, and it's funny to see how many, like, for example, Hailee Steinfeld, who we know as like the mini Hawkeye, is the voice of Gwen Stacy.
Oh, cool.
Oscar Isaac, who is Moon Knight, is the voice of a character named Miguel O'Hara. Which I'm wondering, is that... No, that's not the same one. I was like, what was the third personality of Moon Knight? I don't remember, but it wasn't that. So I'm excited just because their art and the music was just gorgeous. And I can't wait to see what people have to say about this. Wrap all up, there is one movie I need to talk about. And I need to do some more digging into this. It is called The Wrath of Becky. And I thought this was the first one. It is a sequel. So I looked back. It stars Lulu Wilson. This is how it got me down the rabbit hole. I'm like, is she related to, you know, Luke Wilson or Owen Wilson, somebody like that? No, it looks like she's just like her standalone actress. She's been in a few horror type movies. But apparently... Becky was the name of the first one. It starred Kevin James and Joel McHale. Came out back in 2020. It's a teenager's weekend at a lake house with her father. It takes a turn for the worst when a group of convicts wreak havoc on their lives. So it basically has the vibe of she is the little girl in Kick-Ass is the vibe I'm getting.
Oh, okay.
Kevin James plays, like, you just by watching the trailer, he was like a convict and, you know, not a good one because he's got like a... very noticeable symbol tattooed on the back of his head.
Oh, geez.
Of his shaved head.
If Kevin James?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm very fascinated to learn, like, what this is all about. But it looks like, you know, things may not go well for her family in this. And so it's a mixture of Hit Girl meets Home Alone.
Okay.
Where she's...
a very violent...
bad things are happening to her family. So she's got to save them. And she's got to do bad things to these people.
Oh, because I guess so. Like they kind of get captured or something like that.
Yes,
and so she's going to be the hero, but instead of a Home Alone, you know, fun little pranks, it's going to be chainsaws and
blood and all that stuff. And she seems to already had an anger issue before this. Like her father's played by Joel McHale, and like he's got like his like new girlfriend. It looks like based on the trailer, and the girlfriend's got a kid. So I think that's partially why they were targeted by Kevin James and his, you know, convict buddies, because they are people of color. You know that the other family is. So they're like, maybe we don't like this. So she's got to get up in there. So the movie that is coming out is called The Wrath of Becky, and there's just a still of her just covered in blood.
Oh, wow. So this is going to be a fun, lighthearted movie then.
Oh, very lighthearted. Very the poster is awesome. It's her with like wearing an orange jumpsuit with patches on it, and she's got a big old crossbow and a big old dog.
If you want to watch some murder and mayhem.
Yep. This one stars Sean William Scott in it as one of the bad guys.
Oh, my gosh.
She's trying to rebuild her life, you know. She's being taken care of. This is 2 years after all the bad stuff happened, and now she has to go back to her old ways.
Well, there's just some bumps in the road sometimes in life.
This, I may have to try to figure out how to watch this, because this sounds fantastic.
Yes.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.